things that you teach, undergraduate program in natural sciences and the master's program. You can stop me at any time and ask questions. The You Teach undergraduate program started in 1996. So it's been around a while, and it was the brainchild of Marianne Rankin. And it was started because Marianne's daughter was going to a local school and she didn't like the education atmosphere of the school and looked into, I'm not going to mention, but she looked into things and decided, you know, there might be a better way to do this. So she created this partnership between natural sciences and education and the local school districts and started You Teach actually in natural sciences. It's a natural sciences program. And so that was one big change, that this is housed in natural sciences. And there was a little bit of pushback from education about that, of course. But it's a partnership, and we've been working together ever since. So one thing that Marianne noticed as she looked into preparing teachers at UT is that we weren't graduating many, you know, math or science majors or math or science people that wanted to teach. I think it was around 20 or so a year that came out of the College of Education at the time that wanted to teach secondary math and science, not elementary, but secondary.
If they wanted to teach, wouldn't they before have just gone into the College of Education?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. But College of Education at the time was averaging in the 20s in terms of how many math and science teachers were graduating, being ready to teach. And Marianne didn't like that. She said, this is a big university. We should be able to put out more mathematics and science teachers, if nothing else. And she wanted to make sure that a program was created with a, you know, high-quality program where the content was very, very key, and that the education courses were more relevant than, say, typical education programs. And one thing that was also the thought from the beginning was that even after the You Teach students graduate, that they get support for at least a year or two once they're out there in the field to help with retention, because you've all heard the dismal retention rates of teachers. After 5 years, the statistics I've always heard is that 50% of the teachers are gone by 5 years that started teaching. But I have a slide here that's recently been done that shows a little different numbers. So You Teach is a four-year undergraduate program. That's another thing that's nice. These slides won't all come in like this. I apologize. And that was one thing that was really a hallmark of the You Teach program as well, and it still is. Students graduate with a mathematics degree, a BA or BS, in 4 years. Many teacher preparation programs across the country, it takes 5 or 6 years for the students to get their degree, whether it's education or a science or math, and to go for 6 years for a job that everyone concedes is a pretty low-paying job is a lot to ask, you know, students to do. So Marianne wanted to make it, and others that now got into this idea, to make it a four-year program, make it possible in 4 years. Now, just as with all the other students at the university, they don't always graduate in 4 years, but they have the opportunity to do so. The degree plans are set up that way. So we tried to make the degree plans very, very, very similar to the normal degree plan, say in mathematics or in the sciences. Students do have some choices along the way, and there is a lot of research to show that that's a good thing. It's not just a deep content knowledge that makes a good teacher. There's some discussion, some presentation abilities that everyone, I think, concedes has to be there. So there were some course choices that would be different. I just had Hyman Bass and Deborah Ball at a discovery lunch last year, and I got to talk to them at length after the lunch. And Deborah Ball asked about the You Teach program, and Hyman Bass as well, and they really liked the idea that we had courses where students were forced to get up and talk about mathematics, which is what we do have within the mathematics department. Early and ongoing field experiences, this was a whole new thing. In most teacher preparation programs, it's not till junior or senior year that education majors in the past went out into the field and actually got to teach. Whereas students here, if they join freshman year, they're out teaching in elementary schools freshman year and in middle schools freshman year. And then by their sophomore year, they're out teaching in the high schools, because most of our students end up in the high schools. So they got to realize real quickly whether they liked this or not. And some even switched to elementary ed. They had a great experience with elementary education. They thought they wanted to teach high school, but they like all the kids hanging on their legs and the like. So they said, well, no, I'm going to do early education, and that's good. And there were new courses. This was another big change for the College of Ed. In the past, they had, you know, six or seven or more courses that their majors had to take to teach, say, secondary. And these were streamlined to four courses. And the four courses are those that really have to do with cutting-edge theory on how to teach, but not just how to teach, but how to teach mathematics and science at a secondary level. So it forced education to really focus where their energy was within the program, which I think was a good thing. And the philosophy of UTeach, be it mathematics or science, is an inquiry-based method of teaching, having students really think deeply about mathematics and do mathematics in the classrooms and ask the whys and present their results. And this pervades the master's programs as well. That's just a philosophy that... In the undergraduate program, there's also research experience. Students have to come up with a research idea in a course called Research Methods. It's not the same one that the freshmen take now. It was created by David Lotti and tweaked by Michael Martyr, a physicist. And all mathematics and science students have to have this research experience course before they graduate. It's an upper division course. And so here's the enrollment in the undergraduate UTeach program. In 1996 is actually when it started. There were 22 students that went in. And very quickly, this is part of the beauty, very quickly this thing grew just almost out of hand. There's over 600 students in the program now. This goes to 2010, but our enrollment was even higher this year. So it really shows there is interest in you at the University of Texas, and we can graduate more students. This data was compiled by the UTeach Institute, which I'll mention later. The UTeach Institute, well, I'll get to that. The Institute.
I have a question. So the degree is a separate College of Natural Science degree. The UTeach degree?
No, it's a mathematics, for example. It's a biology, a chemistry. It's a mathematics degree that students get. It says teaching option on it.
Is it, we have, in math, we have these specializations.
Mm-hmm.
So is it one of the specializations?
It's one of the specializations, the teaching option. And they can do a BA or a BS. And as I said, the degree plans are extremely similar to just the pure mathematics degree. It's just that along the way they have some options to take courses that I will talk about. So that's one thing that I don't think everyone realizes. These are math majors, and they are a large part of the math department. It's as many as...
How many math majors do we have?
I'm gonna show you that in a second, too. I don't know how many math majors total. Is it 900 and something? 800 and something. I've seen that.
75%
of our math majors. No, this is math and science. Yeah, this is math and science. I'll show you mathematics right here, see? So all you really need to take away from this is that at any given time, half the students in UTeach, in the UTeach program, are mathematics students. The rest are the various sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, and even some engineering now. Engineering has joined us. So that's a lot of math majors that are looking into the teaching program. Another thing we found, having worked with Kathy Davis, is that many of the students that are in the pure math degree option are taking the UTeach courses, just kind of a back pocket thing. Well, if I don't get to do what I want to do, I'll teach. Which we say that's great, that's a good idea. And so they don't always show up in the statistics for the math department as being associated with UTeach because they don't declare that they're going for a teaching option. But there are a good deal that do that.
Mm-hmm. Flash back to the previous slide.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 600 some students.
Mm-hmm. So say around 300 that are mathematics.
Right. And mm-hmm. That results in how many graduating in math a year?
How many graduating math a year? We're up between 70 and 80.
But
half of them are mathematics, so it'd be a little around 40.
70 and 80 mm-hmm. a year out of 600 doesn't sound like a very good rate.
Well, that's true,
so
but...
Yeah. 2006, that was out of 500.
Right, so it goes down. Yeah, it is. And you think that, you know, these students take a, you know, they're in the pipeline, but it's only, you know, it's only, you know, senior year people, so it's, you know, not all students finish either. Some decide, they get overwhelmed because of these, that's a good question, they get overwhelmed because of the field courses and the like, and they may be in UTEACH for a while, and they may decide, well, I'm not going to finish that, I just can't fit it in.
So incoming freshmen can be part of this?
Yes, incoming freshmen, they're actually recruited. Mark and I, over the summer, I think it's about six times, we go to the freshman orientations and talk about the mathematics department in general, but we also push UTEACH and the actuarial program.
And we both push the UTEACH program.
That's right. So, and they get postcards and things like that, so they're recruited. Our budget was cut just like everyone else's, so we were told not to recruit too many more because we're not getting any more help to teach the courses that need to be taught. Okay. So here's the retention that the Institute, once again, got for us. And really, nationwide, after 5 years, the retention rate looks like somewhere between 60% and 70%, but we don't know what's reported in that. If teachers quit and substitute teach, are they counted as still teaching? But you can see there is a significant difference for UTEACH students as to those that, after 5 years, are still teaching. And that's really considered a success story, and it's a statistic that UTEACH is happy with. We have a lot of students that stay in teaching. They're not just visiting.
Well, 100% are still in there after a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when they for their statistics, it's probably not exactly 100, but close enough, yeah. Well, for one thing, in their first year, they do get a lot of support. They probably aren't allowed to quit. The ones that, and the funny thing is, our students get jobs. And in the past years, they've had jobs way before they've graduated. You know, school districts come and recruit them. In this last year, with all the bad press, I mean, it did take longer for our students to get jobs, and they did have to go farther. Most of them get jobs in the AISD area, but everyone that graduated last year has a job, but just some of them had to go to Corpus Christi now, and some had to go to Midway or Odessa. So,
what is the SASS?
It's the
survey?
Yeah, it's a national survey.
This is national or Texas?
This is national.
Public schools, private, all of them?
All of them, yeah. So, once again, the Institute gathered this data because it's always been our claim that we have retention, so they're really trying to back up the claims now. And I don't know where they got this data, but this has been vetted. And Michael Martyr's a data freak, so he'll tell you the flow of the data, too. You know, all kinds of flow. Yeah. So here are the courses that UTEACH students take. They take this course that I teach, Ephraim Armendariz has taught, a few others have taught. It's functions in modeling. It's in addition to all the mathematics, you know, requirements. It's a mathematics course, but it's in addition to the normal degree. And it's a lower division course. It's just 315C, but it serves as a bridge. It takes the curriculum topics of secondary and relates them in some regard to the courses that students will be taking here at the university. And I think it's been very successful. When I was hired about 9 years ago, I was asked to redo this course because somewhere it had morphed into an education course and not a mathematics course. And I think it's been very successful. It's one of the, by graduate survey, it's one of the really favorite courses that students take because it's a topics course. And I really did used to hear quite often, you know, why do I have to take analysis? Why do I have to take number theory if I'm just going to teach pre-calculus or something? And you don't hear that anymore. And I think it's largely because this course kind of presents the big picture view. Well, it's a problem-based course, and we assume a certain amount of knowledge, and it's really about correcting their terminology, working on giving them explorations that have been really well thought out, I think. Ephraim and I really wrote the manuscript for this. You know, to expose holes. We do that on exponential growth and decay. All the places, for example, that we saw in Alex, all the places where students do poorly, functions, logarithms, exponents, you know, all these things are identified in Alex still, and these are the type of activities we have in the courses. And they're not just problems where you get an answer. They're problems that really, I think, expose the depth of knowledge of these topics for students, especially as they talk about them. And then we can relate them to where this shows up, why are there holes in the learning, things like that. Okay, the STEP courses are taught, they're UTS, they're You Teach Natural Sciences courses. They're taught, they're just 1 hour courses where it's really nuts and bolts. Master teachers teach students how to go out and present lessons, help them make lessons. It's really nuts and bolts, not a lot of theory, just getting them ready to go out, okay? And then these are the education courses that are very theory-based, but they're for math and science. And students do a one-semester apprentice teaching where they teach half-day in the schools. So this is the education part. This is kind of somewhere in between. And these are various courses that are, except for this one, that are natural sciences courses. Well, actually, this one is. This one's a history course. We make them do a history of math and science course. And this one is only for those that go for middle school. That's a state requirement. Okay. And here's the BS degree that falls under the teaching options. And if I know it's a lot to read, but if you look at it, it's pretty much the same choices. One thing we did change recently is, which I'm not sure if it's reflected, yes, students used to avoid abstract algebra by taking number three theory. We had that option. They could take abstract algebra or number theory, and we took that out. We want them to have abstract algebra. But when you think about it, it's hard in 4 years to get it all in. I think they all should have differential equations, but many don't have that. So it's hard to get it all in. The choices are still there for them to take it, but, you know, students find a path of least resistance. But we try to advise them. And, you know, and this isn't a program that this has come up before as a topic of discussion. This isn't a program to really prepare students for graduate school either. It's a professional certification program. They are wanting to teach, and we're preparing them to teach, just as actuarial is preparing them for different things. Some of our students do go to grad school in pure mathematics, and that's great. And some of our students realize maybe junior or senior year, maybe they want to. So we say, well, you're probably going to have to take some extra courses.
And they're fine. The more prepared they are for grad school, the better they're going
to
be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Grad school teachers. Definitely, and many are willing to take the extra courses and put in the extra, you know, semester or two. So that's okay.
And I think the more you jack up the program, the harder you make it, the better it's going to be for them in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. look good, they get you, like, it's great, you're already getting jobs, and better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If it has a better rep.
Yes.
It has a good rep.
So we are always, you know, looking at how we can change things to make it better. And the nice thing is, with many, which I'll talk about in a minute, many more universities doing UTeach, we're looking at what they're doing too and what ideas they have. So the hope is to nationwide build this better program. These are courses that were either initially created for or looked at with the thought of having a high population of UTeach students in it. This is that course I talked about that's in addition to the degree plan courses. Geometry, all our students have to take geometry. So and there are various versions of this geometry now. I teach one, Starbird teaches one, and then there was one that was mostly created by John Gilbert, I think, that's very sketchpad oriented. But they're all proof based and they're all, you know, good courses, and there are a lot more than you teach people in there, but it's usually highly populated by UTeach. Martha Smith thought of this, that UTeach students have to take this, and I taught it a few times, and I don't see how it's very different than just a general, you know, an upper division stat course, except that Martha had the good idea of having a project at the end where students do statistics, you know, they create some type of statistical experiment. The difference is that for the UTeach students, we try to advise them to go look at district data on teaching and, you know, and apply the various tests, t-tests, et cetera, to district and school data. But otherwise, it's just a typical stat course. M360M is another one that Martha Smith created early on, and it's problem solving. So it's a lot of, once again, you know, kind of inquiry-based, looking at topics in mathematics. Intro to Analysis, Kathy Davis and I have had lots of discussion on this. I taught this a couple semesters. This is largely populated by UTeach students, but of course there are others. And she was having a hard time really seeing, you know, how to make it relevant for them. But I think it's pretty decent in the way it is right now. And it's not a calculus course in any way. It isn't. It's an analysis course. We just don't go into all depth in all the topics. This is the one that Ephraim and I created. It's a capstone course. And many teacher preparation programs that work with mathematics departments, the mathematics department has a capstone course that once again pulls together now what the students have learned at the university and tries to get one more shot at deepening their content knowledge before we send them out. It's a junior, senior level course. It's called Constructing Numbers, and it starts with the real line. We fill in the real line. We go to the complex plane. So now we go from the line to the plane. We do constructability of complex numbers. And the quest is, can we construct all numbers? And so there's geometry in there. There's field extensions, linear algebra, and some number theory in there. It's a very nice course, and it's actually one that's being replicated at a couple of the UTeach sites as well. And so the UTeach replication began in 2007, and it was on the front page of the of the university website that UTeach got $1.4 million to support each program, and that ExxonMobil gave them, I forget, it was $17 million or something. So everyone thought UTeach was rich. But the UTeach program here at UT really didn't get any of that money. All the money was to be used to create a UTeach Institute that would oversee replication and then give money to these other universities to start a UTeach program. Great sums of money, actually, over 5 years. And they were working with NIMSI. That's where Marianne Rankin is now. She's the head of NIMSI, National Math and Science Institute. And NIMSI works with the UTeach Institute to push the UTeach replication and the AP program, laying the foundations AP program. What do you think about that program, Lorenzo? I see you laughing.
I just realized Tennessee doesn't even have to change the name.
That's right. You should hear some of the names they come up with. We teach, you teach, can teach. Kansas is can teach. It's ridiculous. And so in the first couple years, there are 19 universities were picked up the UTeach program. And when you pick up the UTeach program, you have to do it exactly as it's done here. So the students are math majors, science majors. They redesign degree programs and the like. So in the first few years, there were two cohorts. And you see a few right here in Texas. There's 19 listed here. UTeach is already up to about 28. The state of Tennessee did come on, so there's about five in Tennessee. With the Obama Race to the Top funds, Georgia, five or six in Georgia are coming on soon, and five or six in Massachusetts are coming on. And then there are more UT Brownsville, and I think UT Pan Am is joining, so the UT system is getting into it as well. So this is huge. The UTeach Institute is bigger than the UTeach program. I think they have 28 people now working on this replication. It's here, and people come to visit it, and it's just, you know, two or three classrooms with cubicles in them. It's on the fourth floor of Painter. It's around the corner from on the fourth floor where some of the UTeach classes are basically taught.
What's the difference between cohort one and cohort two?
I don't know. It was just that they decided early on they'd take RFPs from a certain number of universities and then realized they had enough money to take some more. So there's not really. These are the ones that came on first. And these later. University of Houston, I think last year, had their first graduates. So people, they're starting to graduate. And this is a five-year thing. After 5 years, they're cut loose. And I think people are still trying to figure out what we do with them. Do we still keep up with them, create this network? You know, we want a network. And good things are coming out of it. I'm going to get to the master's program in a minute. And already, Arlington and UNT. UNT is part of it now. It's not listed here, I don't think. James Epperson at Arlington and Neil Brand at UNT, they're thinking of now, okay, let's do a UTeach like master's program. We're ready for the second phase. So a master's program is going to be a natural offshoot of a lot of these as well.
When you say cut them loose, what sort of control?
Well, the control is the reason the Institute was created was to oversee that these courses are done with fidelity. And that's one thing that Marianne was extremely...
How do you oversee them?
A lot of the personnel, they go out and visit two or three times each semester to make sure the courses are done and the syllabi. You know, I'm one of the people that reviews. You have to review their syllabi, review their assignments. Does it look like the courses we're doing? Things like that. And it's more for the education, not really for the mathematics courses, for that functions and modeling course, yes, but it's more for the education courses, those three field component UTS courses. So it's really overseeing the fact that they're doing UTeach they get a lot of money for this. So the thought is some might get the money and just keep doing what they're doing. So it's really to see that this is done exactly as UTeach does it. And there's room for creativity. The thought is, if you can think of something better, bring it to the big group and try it. You know, maybe we'll change what we do too. It's not like we're the uber lords of UTeach or anything.
So who's the director of the UTeach Institute?
Tracy Parker.
And just UTeach, is that
right? It's UTeach Institute.
Yeah, just the UTeach program within UT?
No, she's the director of the UTeach Institute for Replication.
Who's who's in charge of the UTeach here?
UTeach. Yeah, it's Mike Martyr is a co-director. He's the natural science guy. Larry Abram is the co-director in education. And I was just made the associate director of UTeach, which means I get to do all the stuff they don't want to do.
Is the Institute on soft money, or does it have
a... The Institute is on soft money, yeah. But from many, many different foundations. Yes, it
many
is on...
foundations, not governmental...
There are some governmental and state funds they get, but it's all soft money at this point.
The embassy gives money to the UTeach Institute.
Yes, yes. Because NIMSY, they need to work with academic institutions for it all to work by whatever laws govern such things. Okay, so now I'll get to the master's program and talk to you a little bit about that. In the past, we had a Master of Arts Mathematics degree plan. Ephraim Armendariz and I helped set that. Of course, Ephraim, due to his position, was able to really do the bulk of the work. And I'll tell you why that was started. But initially, funds were given to us, and the provost promised some instructional funds and the like to start just a UTeach summer mathematics or science education degree plan. And the way it worked out, it didn't start this way, but the way it worked out is that it takes 3 summers in residence here at UT to go through the program. And in the intervening years, the academic years between the 3 summers, students take a few online courses that are UTS/education courses. And they do some research, because in their last summer they have to write a report. It's not a thesis, it's a report. It's a summary of research they've done. And it's worked out quite well. At first we had them take 3 courses all summer, 3 9-week courses, and that was horrible because it was just too much for students to do. And so what we did was change to this 3-session, we don't follow the university session, we have 3 13-day sessions, 3 hours a day, and some of the people here can maybe talk about that. And I think it seems to work out quite well because we can immerse students in one subject at a time and just assume that's all they're thinking about for a while. They do have families and they're giving up their summer, but it's I think it's working quite well. The online course...
One course each time.
Mm-hmm. So give them more homework. No, I mean it's a lot of mathematics for them to absorb. They have to think about things, and they're also writing, finishing their reports too, though likely. And the online courses, it's hard. I do those for the mathematics people, and it's tough because they're teaching and they get behind, and I always have to bug them to. And it's really more of a discussion, because part of what we want to do is create a network of teachers from different school districts and even different states. We've had people from Hawaii and Florida in this program to create this network where they talk to each other about teaching as well. And in their final summer, they do finish their report. They have to defend their report. In the past, they've always defended to Ephraim and I. And so this started out well, and we had a lot of interest, but very quickly on, at least in mathematics, the students said, well, it's good to catch up on the education theory and the like, but what we're really coming back for is we've been teaching Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 for 20 years, and we've forgotten everything else. They said, we want more mathematics. We took surveys, we heard that over and over again, and so Ephraim got the MA Mathematics in place. We just used the existing MA Mathematics degree. All the courses are listed as M396C, so we can change them if we need to. They're just basically the topics courses. But as probably most of you know, that's a little shaky because it's not the typical MA Mathematics. So Alan's been nice enough to entertain a proposal I have for calling it an MAT. That would be on their degree, MAT, Master of Arts Teaching Mathematics, awarded by the Mathematics Department. And I think that's nice. And actually, Ephraim and I talked about that three summers ago when we had previously proposed that. And the funny thing is that the MAT is sprouting up at more and more places. John Sally just gave a talk about starting the MAT at Chicago. And there's an MAT at one of the UTeach sites. So it's mathematics departments taking ownership of teaching, which I think we all need to do because these teachers are math majors now. And more states, as a result of the replication, too, a lot of states still have education as the major, and students take some math or some science to teach secondary. But because of UTeach replication, governors have said that they're changing state laws, and they have been changed so that the students have to be content majors, you know, math and science majors, and take some education. The thought is from the other way, to once again bolster that idea that they're getting rigorous courses in mathematics or science. So we started the MA mathematics, and quite frankly, the College of Education didn't like it. We probably weren't transparent enough. But I met with the GSC Committee in Education just a couple weeks ago, and so did Michael Martyr, and no one had any objection to keeping the MA math as it is, because it's been accepted, I guess. And one big reason that it was started is, since the inception of the master's program, be it education or MA mathematics, Ephraim Armendariz and I co-supervised every single report. Education has never offered to supervise reports for students. I guess they just don't have the manpower to do it, but we have done every one. David Saltman helped with one student. I know you've helped with one or two. Martha Smith helped with a couple, but it's been mathematics that's doing the work, and UTeach Natural Sciences runs the program, so we really thought, you know, this is a good program for mathematics, both for the students. In the end, it's what's good for the students, but also it's a good community outreach and a good mission, I think, for the mathematics department.
How many students are you talking about in the summer? I mean, how many reports are you...
Lately, it's less. I'll go forward to that. This is the typical number before the MA started. It's usually 10 to 15 in mathematics. The MA mathematics didn't exist the first couple years. As soon as it did, you see that most students want to go to it. And another reason students want the MA mathematics, I think they feel it's more rigorous. It looks better, but also, especially in the smaller districts around Texas that don't have access to large community colleges, there are dual enrollment courses where, for example, if you're teaching AP Calculus, you're also teaching for the community college AP Calculus. So there's high school students mixed in with, you know, adults coming back to school. But to teach those courses, you have to have the 18 hours in mathematics. And even in Houston and other, you know, even the bigger places, to teach AP, many districts, it's a district decision, want students to have at least 18 hours of graduate math. So this is also a way, when you think about it, teachers really don't have a promotion schedule. You work till you teach the courses you like, and then what do? You become a principal or a counselor, which most teachers don't want to do because then you're a bad guy instead of a good guy, you know. So this is a way for teachers to really promote themselves and professionally develop themselves. They can teach adjunct. The goal of none of these degrees are to get teachers out of the classroom, but they can teach adjunct at community colleges, and it's thought of as a promotion. You know, you're stretching yourself, and a lot do, and I'll show you that in a minute. But they really overwhelmingly want more content, too, just because they've forgotten, and they're getting questions. They've been teaching algebra, as I said, for 20 years, and now they've been asked to teach pre-cal or AP, and they can't answer the questions their students have. So they say, I need to go back and get some more mathematics. And so I really think this is a great service to teachers in general. As many of you probably have heard, there's a big push at UT to work and create more dual enrollment courses. Ted could talk a little bit about that. Because the universities are getting more involved with the secondary curriculum and offering these dual enrollment. It's all part of the college readiness initiative that's going on nationwide. Students need to be more college ready so we can have better four-year graduation rates and the like. So I'll go back for a minute. Here's the way the math ed...
Just go back to the zero with the
after. Oh, yes.
So again, students are still taking the same kinds of courses.
Yeah, this was this year's cohort, this summer coming in, and we didn't know what to offer them because the MA degree was stopped previously. So we said, you're going to have something. College of Education said, well, we'll let them take 18 hours of mathematics, but we'll give them a non-report option. And that is still the thought, but it hasn't been approved by their GSC. So these students are kind of in limbo, waiting to see what kind of degree they're going to get. So everyone came in under Math Ed. But you, once you're in, you can switch. Students have always switched between the two.
Mm-hmm. They spent two summers here.
Mm-hmm.
There was this hiccup.
Three summers.
Yeah. So there was this hiccup for one summer.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the 2009 and 2010 cohorts?
They still went on as usual. I mean, the courses were still offered because even the education degree with 18 hours of math in it, well, those are the six math courses we've always offered. So there was no interruption in the courses that needed to be taught. It's just that these students are kind of in limbo as to what degree they're going to get. And we'd like to continue to offer the MA mathematics until we can...
So we offered the usual courses this last summer.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't know how much time. I don't want to spend too much time, but another thing we did just for budgetary reasons, we used to offer six courses a summer, but now we're going to offer four a summer and rotate them such that students over 3 years still get the six courses they need. And it and just saves money, instructional budget money as well.
Can you tell us some of the faculty involved? I
will. Sean Keel was so nice to be involved, and John Lukey. Martha Smith has been involved in the past. Martha and Steve McAdam, they can't do it anymore. There's university rules on retirement. Gary Hamrick was very interested and started writing a course, and he found out he couldn't do it recently. So I'm hoping other... Lorenzo, you'd be perfect for the program.
I'm sure the movie will be here.
Yes, yeah, so I was hoping more. But I'll still knock on people's doors. Jim, you'd be welcome. But and it is enticing. I hope you talk about it, because it's enticing in that it is a 13 days. It's intense, but it's 13 days of instruction. So it's enticing on that. It's not too disruptive of your research, and that's what I mean by that. But at the same time, I hope you say something about it. I think it's very rewarding, because you'll find these teachers, whether they're strong or not, and some of them are real weak and some of them are strong. Most of them have mathematics degrees. It's just they've been out a long time. And some are retiring and they want the opportunity, once again, to teach at a junior college. But they work so hard. Class will end and they won't leave after 3 hours. And it's just, they're a great bunch to work with. Do you have any?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to negative about everything. I'm a true believer in this thing. I'm impressed by the teachers, how I think, God, I wish I had one of these teachers when I was in elementary school or middle school or high school. There's some really smart people and motivated people.
Yeah, and they're giving up their summers to do this with family.
Yeah, it's a finite field. It's a real class. Mm-hmm. And then... we're done after 3 hours, and they stick around always at least two more hours doing the homework together. And I just think, bang for a buck, you know, I don't do much good in the world at all. But these people are teaching, and if they learn, if one of these teachers learns a little bit, you know, every single time they teach, it's going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I appreciate that Sean has a daughter in
oh yeah, this time I had a teacher who was actually the teacher of my kid last year.
Yeah, so.
And I knew he was going to be good because he was great as a teacher. And he was such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Just a great attitude. He didn't mind, you know, of course he wasn't, there was lots of stuff he didn't know, lots of times he screwed up, it didn't bother him at all. He's just fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had two actually, somebody also from the middle school.
Yeah.
So it didn't actually happen, my kid, but.
Well, I appreciate it. Sean has been a real champion for the program too. And I tear up thinking about it, Sean. I tell people there's the winter Sean and the summer Sean. And I appreciate both.
I'm more natural than winter.
And John has been great. The students love him. You want to say anything about your course or your experience?
Well, yeah, it's a great gig. You know, it's only 2.5 weeks or something like that in the summer, so that's good. It's 3 hours a day, so that's long. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's I teach a different course than I would teach otherwise, probably. You know, we do not theory. Well, mostly we do kind of geometry and topology associated to studying DNA, like the not theory associated to actions on enzymes, how enzymes act on DNA. And I take a little bit from Oscar Gonzalez's course on, you know, modeling DNA of like a rigid rod, so they have to learn how to you know, write something that's oriented in space and describe how do you they go through a program that takes a gene sequence and then plots it, you know, and does some kind of plot. Well, anyway, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's different, and it's the problem in designing a course for it is that you have to assume that, you know, they don't remember a lot. You know, the older teachers, it really has to be fairly low level. But if you can come up with such a course, it's a lot of fun, and the teachers are fun to work with, and they are the more dedicated teachers, I think.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Mark Maxwell's listening closely. I'm hoping he teaches a course for us as well. It's just a good experience. And the other thing to mention is the TAs that have been associated based on how much money we can get. We have various numbers of TAs associated with the courses. I think it's a great experience for them. And many have said it's just neat to work with this population.
So where is the
Well, I just make my graduate students to do it, to help them get a job. And they happen to get supported by my grant. Even if they weren't, they would still have to.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily real specific with the graduate school about what people are doing.
That's right.
So when you put those numbers together, how many people in each course?
Mm-hmm. It used to just be, 10 to 15 in each course. But now with the idea of doing four courses a summer instead of six, we do double up some. So how big was my class? Was like 18 or 19? 18 or 19. So there'll be some of the classes will only have the approximately 10, and some will have closer to 20, depending on who gets doubled up in this cycle of getting the students through six courses on a revolving cycle.
Did you say two TAs?
Well, again, both were just my students that I may come. I was supposed to have four, but two were
gone. Ran out of room. And Alan had the great idea, maybe we can get Uri and some of the students he works with to contribute some TAs to the cause, and I'm going to talk to him about that. And so these are various things that we've offered. This is the one that Ephraim initially, this was born out of a calculus institute that he used to do before the master's program. That was a month-long institute just for local AP teachers. And it's a great course. We start with the isoparametric problem because students don't remember much. And, Peter Lax's version, it's straight out of the MAA articles. And it's the backbone of Lax's proof is there, and we make the students fill it in, and it's a great exercise, and because by the time they're done, it usually takes a day and a half. It takes about 5 hours or so for them to work on it, including thinking about it. They've really redone calculus because they need so many techniques from calculus to complete the proof. That's one way to get them back up to speed because they're forgetting so much, and they all bring calculus books and they're looking up things, and it really works out well. We make the students do most of the work, and that's what's great. Steve McAdam used to be applied calculus. I'd like to replace that with cryptography just because it's kind of a new topic, great thing to talk about in classrooms. Topology, that's John's. And I haven't been able to get a hold of him yet, but I am going to. Yeah, I know. So, but I will. We're going to set something up. I've talked to a couple others as well. And Martha used to do this applications of stat, Bayesian stat, but I'm hoping that Mark can do some other type of statistics course for us. I did Sean does this one, and I do the discrete deterministic chaos because I find that's a great course because most of the foundational theorems are just straight out of calculus, mean value theorem and the like proofs. We talk about contraction mapping and strange attractors and things like that, so that works out very well in terms of, and since we work a lot with iteration and web diagrams, it goes back to compositions of functions, things that are taught on a different level that they can bring back into their classroom and, hopefully with a depth of knowledge. And I think Ephraim said it the best. He said, in these courses, they're not the typical graduate course, but these are terminal degrees, these master's degrees, whether it's Ed or ours, and it's to create sophisticated users, not experts. Okay, and that's a very good, I think, way to describe that. And the course descriptions are there, and some of you know them because they're your courses. And the online things, I have them go through an analysis book, for example, as they get the UTS credit for this, and then they have to discuss topics in this analysis book. It's a very pictorial, it's a very visual analysis book. I really like it. It's by Bryant, yet another introduction to analysis. And it really goes back to the calculus and some of the other foundational topics that they teach. So it's a good book to have them go through and discuss online. In preparation for their reports, we've always had them, they pick a topic based on research in the MAA journals, just like the Peter Lacks journal, and they have to look in the references for some topic they're of interest to them and find other articles. And in the end, you know, they do six to eight articles, and they summarize them, and then they have to defend them. So we're teaching them to write mathematics at a professional level as well. Ted helped this summer with Ephraim being ill, so I appreciate it, and he's going to help next summer, whether he likes it or not. And this just is an example of, I'll end soon, I know we're running out of time, example of some of the topics that have been done. The first couple years, this is when there was just math ed, and this is either math ed or mathematics. This was a great one. The student did a statistical look at Deal or No Deal and really figured out the algorithm, which does change from level to level. And at that time, it was a hit show, you know, so it was kind of neat. We've had some nice prime number type things, you know, Diffie-Hellman exchange, distribution of theory of primes. Students are interested in primes a lot, you know, things like that. Cryptology. I didn't know what, I learned a lot on this one. What's a CAPTCHA? It's those funky things you see on the web where, yeah, go ahead.
You have to type in what the scribble looks like.
Yeah, you see those wavy letters and numbers. Well, that's a mathematical animal. And so that was a nice report. And this is what's really wonderful, too. I mean, these students are so appreciative when they're done. We do ask them, after they're out, to say, to by survey, can you tell us anything that you perceive? So it's their perception, self-reported, of what advancement they've had or new opportunities they've had strictly because of the master's program, not because they learned more or anything, but really because of their work in the master's program. And so we get many that go teach adjunct. They're still in the classroom, but they'll teach adjunct. And often it's just developmental courses adjunct. But they're happy because, once again, it's a different level to work with. Some have worked with the UTeach Institute part-time to help us out. And so that's theirs. But most are staying in the classroom, but it gets better. Some are teaching AP classes now where they couldn't before. I think that's wonderful. This person, I love this person, I know who it is, got Teacher of the Year in their school district at Bowie, and this student complained the whole way through in the program. Did not like inquiry-based way to learn mathematics, sort of like, and once he got out, he changed his whole teaching way. He's 60 years old, changed his whole teaching to inquiry-based mathematics, and he's loving it, and he's actually working for me in the summers for a grant I have with middle school teachers getting ready for the master teacher certification in mathematics, and he's teaching courses, and he was just a thorn in my side the whole time, and he got out and he changed completely, so it was cool. And sometimes it's as little as now they're the lead teacher for Algebra 1, where they used to be just an Algebra 1 teacher, and they're very proud of that. And some become curriculum coordinators. They're out of the classroom, but they're making a bigger impact on the education of their school districts, and this one's great. One of the students won the Millikan Foundation Award. It is the premier teaching award, nationwide award, and it comes with a gift of $25,000. So she paid for the program. Early on, we were paying 85% of tuition and room and board. We now pay 50% just because money's running out and things are tight. But we do, they're teachers, they don't have much money. We try to do our best to pay a lot of the stuff. Thanks for listening. I know many of you knew about this, but thanks for coming. Tell others, spread the word.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope that more people would come to your presentation. I heard what Joan and Sean have been saying. I think, as Sean said, very succinctly, somehow for us as professional mathematicians to be able to go in the summer and have this impact on students, I think it's going to be.
Yeah, and it really is an incredible impact. It is.
Now, the courses seem to be crafted to some extent based on the people who are available to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to what extent are those courses really transferable from one person to the next? Or would it keep changing?
That isn't the point. I think we think of this often as professional development and what can they take out of whatever course we offer. Once again, I thought cryptography would be good because it is a very, you know, it's in all the literature and everything, and so it's a neat topic. There are things from number theory they can bring in the classroom. It is going to change. We've been luckily, people have been doing it for years. And but I think Sean, that's a good. What were you going to say? You
I
said something.
Yeah. I think it's just as well teach something completely different. It's just to get them to do some mathematics. So yeah. I just wanted to pick things where I could give some questions the first day that literally a third or fourth grade kid can understand the question. Mm-hmm. Like the one I always start with is 5 divides the product of 2 numbers. It has to divide one of the numbers. Mm-hmm. How come this is? It's completely non-trivial.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it could just as well be something in analysis or anything else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think it really. It's not important that they know about finite fields. It's that they do some mathematics and see what mathematics is.
And many of these ones are teachers. They're good teachers. You know, they're dedicated, but they're. You know, they're not inspiring their students because they're just so used to doing the same thing. They're doing courses basically, you know, walking through, you know, just not putting effort into it. And it really rejuvenates them because they're thinking and doing mathematics. So in that regard, I agree with Sean. It's just to get them immersed in mathematics again. And they often say that it feels so good to struggle with mathematics again because they get in a very safe way to go, you know. So.
No, but I was thinking into the practicality that mm-hmm. What you've had is you've had people designing a whole new course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are those courses that are now designed going to be taught that course by whoever you can recruit? Mm-hmm. Or is the course only going to live as long as that person is available to teach it?
My first year, I asked Mark what to do, and he gave me this book by a guy named Berger. Mm-hmm. It's just a perfect little book where they just ask a question, and it's many, many different mathematical topics. Very kind of elementary, and I did it all with no preparation. It was no effort, and it was a ton of fun. There's a lot of money, then I just sort of realized, well, God, I don't need Berger's book for this. I could just do it, you know, without mm-hmm. it. But in that book already had lots and lots of fun topics, and you could just walk in there and just do it, not even, you know. The first start up, there's some brain teasers, and then they skip that after every other year, and just there's various little mathematics stuff. You could just walk in there and do it.
Yeah, and to offer some more insight, if people, the materials are there, so if someone else wants to take in and use the materials that some people have developed, like the analysis course, we have a packet of things for every day, and someone could come in and tweak and use that, but if they have other ideas, once again, I don't think it matters. So if you want to create the course, fine. If you want to use materials that are there. I want to have something in analysis and something in statistics because those are the AP courses, right? So that needs to be there. But the other topics, no matter what you do, there are ways for them to see where it relates to their courses. So I think it's worthwhile for them once again. Okay, I think I'm running over time. Thank you. Thanks.